Hey, good morning, church. Happy Labor Day, the final holiday of the summer. I knew a pastor who's at a very large church. He preached about once a month, I guess, and every time he preached, for like the span of like 3 or 4 months, some woman would go into labor in the congregation. So I'm thinking about Labor Day. I'm so glad Gina had that baby already because, you know, Anyway, I am glad that you're here today. And those of you who are gathered online, I'm glad you're here too. So in about a month, Thrive is going to celebrate our 7th birthday. And I was reflecting on this a little bit. Just because every time I look at the calendar, I was kind of, you know, thinking. And I remember when we launched the church, we did it with a lot of hope, a lot of energy. And in the first 3 years, we had this beautiful pattern of growth. We went from 30 to about 100, and it was a lot of fun. And we had, you know, people visiting, and it was just a good time. And then 2020 happened and put a wrinkle in it. Put a wrinkle in, well, everything, if we're completely honest. And we spent about 6 months online, and during that, we went from 100 down to about 40 or 50. So over the last 3 years since that time, like a lot of smaller churches, we've been kind of scratching our heads. Something's different. Something has shifted in the culture. In fact, I was just talking to a friend of mine. There was a pastor here in Oklahoma that I dearly loved, and he passed away, unfortunately, but his wife got a hold of me just this last week, kind of out of the blue. I don't talk to her very often, and was asking about things and my wife and girls, and I got a chance to check in with her, and it was just kind of a great conversation, and she asked about Thrive because she knew all about all of you, And I said, well, you know, like a lot of smaller churches, we've had our struggles. Well, her son is a pastor in Michigan and dealing with the exact same thing. And we had a conversation about that. So, you know, it's pretty common. And we've had lots of questions about, you know, how do we proceed? How do we go forward? And as we kind of come into our birthday, it's a natural time to think about these things. I don't know what it is. It seems like, you know, birthdays and especially New Year's, there's this kind of natural thing for us to look both forward and backward kind of at the same time and contemplate those things. And I'll be honest, is, you know, sometimes it gets a little discouraging, you know, as you're trying to, you know, sort through this stuff and, you know, God, where are you? And how do we listen to you? And, you know, where are you moving? And then earlier this week, a friend of mine sent me a passage. I want to read it to you. He sent one part of the passage, but as kind of the way I'm wired is I got to go read the whole thing so that I can understand, you know, what's being said. And as I did, I felt like God was speaking to me directly. And I want to read this to you because I think he's speaking to all of us. I'm in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I'm in the first chapter. If you got a Bible or Bible app, you might want to turn there. Otherwise, you can listen. That's fine. But I just want to read this to you because Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and he's got some things that he's trying to share. And he writes this, and some of this is more relevant than others, but you'll catch the meaning. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia." That's modern-day Turkey, by the way. "We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death." Now read those words and you gotta think your way through this a little bit because this is Paul. This is the guy who founded a whole bunch of churches and wrote the majority of what we call the New Testament. The guy's prolific. The guy is productive. Is he successful? Yes. In the kingdom, you betcha. But here he's writing about the hardships. In another letter, he writes about being shipwrecked. Multiple times, if I recall, beat up, persecuted, chased out of Thessalonica. Remember, we just talked about that. Set upon by thieves and robbers and left for dead and all these sorts of things. And all of a sudden, I don't feel so bad about being a little discouraged. Because at least I don't have to suffer that, right? The problem that we have, especially in the American church, and I'm not trying to be overly critical here, is that none of us really like suffering, and yet suffering seems to be part of the Christian life, at least to a certain degree. And so we shouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of discouragement along the way. Now, that doesn't change the fact that we still have decisions that we need to make, and we have to make plans for the future, and we've got to make some decisions about things. There's all of that that's going on. I mean, that's just the reality of the soup that we're in. I laugh because sometimes I hear people say, well, those are first world problems. Yeah, I understand that, but guess what? I live in the first world. I still have to live my life, right? I still have to deal with whatever my problems are. No, they're not somebody else's, but I've not been called to that. I've been called to this. But there has been a certain amount of discouragement, and I feel like we're in good company with Paul, but I want you to notice what he writes next in this verse, because I think this is really important. Verse 9, he goes, "Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." Now think about how that was couched. Think about how he put this together. He said, essentially, we feel like we have a death sentence. And in the very next statement, he's like, but I don't care because I serve the God who raises the dead. Oh, that's good, church. I'm sorry, that's good news right there. Because on the one hand is, yes, things can get really bad, but I serve a God of redemption. And he's very deliberate about using those terms. He's using the extreme to make his point. But I want you to notice, more importantly, exactly what's in between, the central idea to that statement. Indeed, our hearts, we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. Don't gloss over that. Oh yeah, that's the Christian thing to say. I've heard that in church all my life. Wait a minute. Think about the fact that death is on either side of that. This happened so that we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but we'd rely on God. Now here's the thing. It's not that God orchestrates this stuff. It's not that God tempts us. It's not that God even allowed them to happen. What Paul does is he reframes those things. It's an opportunity to rely on God. Because I don't know if you've noticed, but bad things happen in this world. There's junk all around us. And if you don't believe me, open up your phone. Go through your news feeds. You'll find something pretty quick. It's not that God orchestrates them, but when they occur, God is able to do something redemptive through them. We don't rely on ourselves in those things. We rely on Him. Has that ever happened to you? You've had some kind of negative experience, but then all of a sudden you see it in a new light? It's challenging. It's powerful, but it's reframing those things. We talk about this in our discipleship course. How we actually approach God in our journals and ask Him to reframe those things that we would just as soon forget, those things that we're not proud of, dealing with issues that we need to deal with. And so really, the challenge for all of us here is to actually ask God to help us see things from His perspective, not just from ours. I have a friend of mine who puts it this way: you have to get up into the heavenly realms in order to see the bigger picture. Zooming out, as it were, so that you can see the broadness of what God might be up to. I remember hearing, I don't know, some motivational speaker at some point, I don't remember. He said, things don't happen to you, they happen for you. Which I think is probably true. If you can reframe it in your mind and saying, oh yeah, this is a bad thing, but if it's happening for me, not to me, maybe there's something. I don't know about you, but I need a Holy Spirit to come and remind me of that, or to actually help me understand that. Some of you heard me tell the story, but back on September 11th, 2001, I was working for an office furniture manufacturer, and the economy was beginning to slow down a little bit, and there had been some rumblings that our company was going to be downsizing a little bit. Well, then September 11th happened, and so that kind of took everybody's attention away. But 2 weeks later, on September the 24th of that year, me and 749 of my friends all lost our jobs, downsized. And I remember driving away from the job, because it was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon when all this happened, and I was driving away, and I'm like, this is not necessarily a bad thing, which was so unlike me. I'm really good at hitting the panic button, right? I mean, you just, boo! I need one of those little panic buttons that you can get. But I remember very clearly thinking, no, this is a good thing. And it was probably a year and a half later, we were in seminary. And we really felt like God had orchestrated some things for us, had lined some things up for us to be able to do that. It wasn't a bad thing. It was actually a good thing. All I'm saying is I don't want to be Pollyanna-ish. That's not what I'm suggesting here. But I do think that there is an opportunity for all of us to take whatever circumstances that life gives us and to reframe it in such a way that maybe the God of redemption is up to something here. I think he's up to something more often than we care to admit. And so I gotta wonder that perhaps the last 3 years might have been or might be an opportunity for us to rely on God. I was thinking a little bit more about this over the week. Recently, Pastor Dan took a sabbatical, and I know he had a chance to do some self-reflection and trying to think through kind of the future and just what he wanted and what God was leading him to. And back in, I think it was late May, early June, I received a prophetic word from someone that stated that God wanted to do some work in my heart, me personally. And what was so funny is that this particular individual that I was asking for a prophetic word, as I was asking for a prophetic word about Thrive, and for whatever reason, God decided to deal with me. So, okay. Don't rely on ourselves, rely on God. Okay, I got it. But there was some work that he wanted to do. And frankly, I received some healing, and I'm very thankful for all of that. There's some really good things that happened over the summer. And I can't help but remember the amount of times that I've been up here and just felt the presence of God in the room. I mean, I love that. I don't know if you saw the Facebook post, but there's a short little video that my daughter had taken from up in the sound booth of all of you worshiping. Wow, a powerful image that was. It's so good. When Dan came back from his sabbatical, we had a chance to sit down several times and kind of debrief and talk about things. And obviously, as we start to look towards the fall to just really say, okay, Lord, what do you have in mind for Thrive, and you know, what do you want to do? And we articulated some things that we felt like we needed, I guess, as a church, or maybe I could say things that we found would probably be advantageous for our church. And one of them might be within reach, and I want to talk to you about it today. In the course of our conversation, we wondered, what would it be like if we had a facility where all of our offices and our worship space were in one building? What would that be like? And having access to it a little more often, because we leave all of our equipment here, but that doesn't mean that, you know, Dan necessarily has access to it all the time. And so we've been kind of wondering about that. And And I can't give you a whole lot of details, but I can tell you that we've started a conversation to lease a facility that would do just that. That would put all of our worship space and our office space together here in Broken Arrow, actually. Now, here's the thing. There is no guarantee that all this is going to work out. There is a cost to it, and yes, it is a little exciting to be thinking about that. And I think that those kinds of moments, when you have a change like that, they're, for lack of a better term, they're catalytic in the sense that they trigger some type of momentum. Now, here's the interesting thing. Anytime you change, make a change, you trigger some type of momentum. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's negative. We prefer the positive kind, okay? Let's just be clear about that. But we recognize the fact that any type of change is going to trigger some kind of momentum. And yes, it can be exciting to do something like that, but there's a bigger challenge underneath all of this, and it's the thing that we really need to talk about. There's always the thing you want to talk about, and there's the thing you really need to talk about, right? You probably experienced that as well. The challenge is simply this, is that whether we're here or somewhere else, we still need to grow. We still need to be the church body. We still need to be healthy because healthy things grow. We need to talk about that aspect. And it's really easy to get all excited about going to a new facility, but the fact of the matter is that, as my wife likes to say, you got to bloom where you're planted. And that's part of the underlying thing that we need to chat about. And I was thinking to myself, what kind of church would we need to be in order to trigger that kind of positive momentum? Does that make sense? What kind of church would we have to be in order to be that way? I mean, if we're going to lease something and have to do a build out, which is pretty expensive, by the way, and if we're going to try to reach the community, I believe that we have to invest in more than just money. We have to invest more than just money. And the truth of the matter is that's true whether we move or not. We still have to invest more than money into not just the church, but into the kingdom. Because I'm not, you know, I'm interested in the church, but I'm more interested in the kingdom. I want our church to be part of that kingdom. And so we want to invest in things like kingdom sorts of work. And my thought was, as I kind of walked through this in my own mind, there's three ideas that began to surface. Three ideas that I think, let me put it this way. I think there are areas where we need to each individually expend some energy, invest some energy. Let's put it that way. Because we're trying to invest more than just money. You have to at least invest some type of energy into these things. And I want to talk about them because I think it's important. Now, fortunately for me, they all begin with the letter P because I think the Lord knows that I'm a little bit, you know, kind of slow on the uptake, and so he gives me these alliteration things so I remember stuff. But think of it this way. The very first thing that all of us must invest some energy in is promotion, to promote Thrive Church as a place that's kingdom-oriented. Invite the people that you know. Look for opportunities to include others into Thrive events and be willing. This is the thing that I'm learning, and I've been learning this lesson multiple times, so I think it's probably important. I don't think God is necessarily so interested in my skill set as he is in my willingness. You know, we often talk about obedience. I got to admit, I don't like that word at all, just for personal reasons, right? I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand it. But the prerequisite to obedience is willingness. And sometimes you got to go so far as to say, Lord, I'm willing to be willing. Can you help me with my willingness? He's not afraid of that, by the way. And so to be willing to be open about your church experience and what you hope for in a church and who you want to do this with. And I think that's important, is be willing to promote, whether we're here, whether we're somewhere else. Got to be willing to do that. take some risks in that regard. I remember one time I was pastoring a church, and it was a rough go. And I was sitting somewhere, I don't remember where it was, but there was a young couple at the table next to ours. And I don't know if you know this, but I don't have a problem talking to pretty much anybody. And conversation ensued. I don't even remember how it started. It just did. And they asked me what I did, and I said I pastored a church. And they said, oh, yeah, we're looking for a church. And what I found, and this was really hard, is I had a hard time inviting them to that church just because we were in a rough spot. I don't ever want that to be the case again. I remember just feeling weird about that. I don't have that issue with Thrive. I'll invite everybody to Thrive. Try to. I want to be willing to take those risks and say, hey, why don't you come check this out? Lots of ideas about that. We can talk about those later. But the second thing that I think that we all have to invest in, oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I know it. Okay. I think the other thing that we have to invest in is we have to participate. You got to be willing to promote the church, but you also have to be willing to participate in the life of Thrive Church. And that means, it's in the very simplest terms, show up, right? Come to Sunday morning, go to small group, be involved in those events. There's a statistic that I've read is that people will say they belong to a church, and for them, regularly attending, that was the term. They regularly attended a church, and for them, the definition was they showed up twice a month. Now, look, not everybody has to do this, but when I was growing up, this is what we did on Sunday morning. Pulse, we're going to church, right? Now, if you were sick or something, stay home. You know, we don't necessarily want to share that kind of love, but the point is that we want folks to participate in the life of the church. And here's another way you can participate. If you're not partnered with us financially, you might want to think about doing that. I mean, just that's another way to participate in the life of the church. And I think the piece of the puzzle that is most worth your initial investment when you're participating is to make room for others. Go to lunch and invite somebody along, somebody you don't necessarily know. Use that as an opportunity to get to know them. We call this building community, because you have to remember, church is not a building. Church are people. It's all y'all. It's really important that we think about how we continue to build community, especially with people that we don't know, and that's participating in the life of the church. And finally, you know where this is going, right? You got to pray. Promote, participate, and you got to pray. Yeah, I know that's the Christian thing to say, right? Well, I'll pray about it. Yes, you should. It's easy to talk about those things. But I think this is a really important piece, is that whatever we're doing, ask for favor. If we go to a new facility, we need the favor of that landlord. We're going to need the favor of our neighbors. We're going to need the favor of the community. We're going to need favor. By the way, that holds true right here. We need the favor of our landlord. We need the favor of our neighbors. We need the favor of the community. So let's ask for favor for those things. Ask God for people. Lord, who do you want at Thrive Church? Who is it that's on your heart? Who is it that you think we can reach? Who's on your mind? Don't be surprised if a face or a name pops up in your head. Don't dismiss that. That might be Holy Spirit talking to you. It's easy for me to stand here and say the word people. But the fact of the matter is, they're individuals and they have faces and names that you know. And so don't be surprised if those are the ones that come to your mind in that moment. And when they do, the simple thing to do is, okay, Lord, how do you want to get started? What are you up to? But you have to ask for it. And by the way, while you're praying for people, pray for a kids ministry director, as we're looking for one again. And we really need to find that individual, whether we stay here or whether we go somewhere else. Kids ministry is a big deal. And we've got some ideas and plans, but we're looking for somebody to direct that whole program, and hopefully we'll be able to find that person. If the Lord chooses to keep us here, if we're not moving to another facility, and again, I don't know where that's going to go, we still have to ask him what he has in mind. I don't think God teases us. That doesn't sound like God to me. But sometimes God will take circumstances and he'll poke you and prod you a little bit. And he'll ask the question, what are we really doing here? What's really in your heart? Are you really after me, or are you after something else? And what I hope happens in our prayer life when we're actually trying to converse with him is that we realize that what we want more than anything else is his presence. Because look, I don't care if we're here, I don't care if we're in a facility, I don't care if we build something brand spanking, it doesn't matter to me. If his presence isn't there, I don't want to go. I have no interest in that, because in my mind, it's doomed to failure at some point. That's not what I'm interested in. We need his presence to go with us. We can't move, we can't even stay if we're not with him, if he's not with us. So I'm excited about the possibility, but I also see work we need to do. And the real question for me is, are we willing to do more? All of us. There's an energy requirement here. Are we willing to do that? And I still think that the key to all of this is presence. And so are we willing not only to do more, but are willing to pursue his presence even harder than we already have? That's a big deal. I'm reminded of a story. It's in Exodus 33. I want to read this to you. And beginning with verse 12, you can just listen. Yeah. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you." Whew, man, I'm telling you. That has a lot of weight. A lot of weight just within me personally. I'm just trying to be transparent about that one. Remember that this nation is your people. Remember, God, that this church is your people. And here's what the Lord replied. "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Don't even let us go. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Wow, that's a powerful statement. My desire for Thrive has always been that we would be marked by the presence of God, that he would be here. And he'll manifest himself when he's good and ready to do it, and he's done it from time to time, but his presence always precedes his power. And so one of the things that we try to do is pursue that presence, and we know that he'll take care of the rest. Whether it's a facility, whether it's a internal problem we're having, whether it's a medical issue, all those things that we think about, his presence is what precedes all of that power. if your presence does not go with us, don't send us. Lord, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't let us go to a different facility. Because it's all about your presence. Yes, this. It doesn't matter where we go, we want his presence. New building, going back to a school at some point, staying right here. Thrive only succeeds with him present. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, God does this beautiful thing, and he creates a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. And again, I don't know about you, but I'd like one of those from time to time. I would like to see that, and so I often pray for those kinds of things. Lord, please be that for us in some way, shape, or form, some type of fashion. And that's what I'm asking for in this exciting possibility. And please remember, this, this is the truth no matter what. He is the leader of Thrive Church. I am simply his associate. He gets to decide these things. And so that's why we spend time thinking and praying and asking him and listening to what he says, because we follow the leader. He's the leader. So I don't know what a new facility might mean. I don't know if it's even going to be within the realm of possibility, but I do know this, that he's still the leader of the church, and that doesn't change where we're actually located. And so as a congregation of individuals, we all ought to be praying for the leader to actually lead us. And so I'm going to invite you to do that. I'm going to call the church to prayer and ask that each one of you make a concerted effort to pray for these important things. Lord, where do you want us to be? Lord, who do you want us to reach? And will you be present with us? Because if he's not with us, let's not do it. If he's not going to be present with us, let's just close the doors and go do something else. His presence is everything. It's the reason why we gather, so that we get to experience that. And so we're going to participate, like we do every Family Sunday, in this ancient ritual that Jesus gave us. It's called communion. And I think this is a marvelous opportunity for each one of us to take a moment and ask God, Lord, who's on your heart? Who do you want to be a part of Thrive Church? Who do you want to reach through us? What spheres of influences do we have that we can put at your feet, that we can offer to you, and you get to do your kingdom work through us? We just want to be a part of what you're doing. Oop. I'm going to dump it all over the place here. Got some gluten-free and some regular bread. At Thrive Church, we have it's called an open table. That means if you're a follower of Jesus, this is for you. If you're not, it's fine. You can stay in your seat and nobody's going to look at you funny, I promise. It's a simple ritual that Jesus gave us so that we could connect back to the Father, connect back to him. And we need to connect back to him always, but especially when we have those moments of opportunity. Sometimes I think that the only time that we consult God is when things get difficult. We also need to consult him when things are exciting, because we want to make sure that we're following him, not getting distracted by something else. We really want to know what God has in mind. So as you take your elements today, I would ask you to ask the Lord that. Lord, who is on your heart for this body of believers to reach? Who is it that you have in mind? And then pay real close attention to see what crosses your mind. If you have a journal, you might want to write those names down. It's a good idea. On the night in which he was betrayed, Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks, passed it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat, and when you do, I want you to remember me. And then after the supper, he took a cup, again, common element, and after he had given thanks, he passed it to his disciples, take and drink, and every time you do this, I want you to remember me. So let's take this moment to remember the work on the cross for ourselves and for others. To understand that this is the basis of the kingdom of God. We can only be led when we're connected to Him. So take the opportunity to connect to Him these very simple elements. We're going to do it like we typically try to do it. Come to the front this way. Work your way around back to your seat that way. Go slow. Dan and Jessica are going to sing while we do this. If you want to go off to the side and take communion as a family or as a couple, you can do that. I want this to be meaningful for you. This is you and your Heavenly Father who wants to meet with you. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for what you're doing in the room today. I want to thank you for what you're doing, not just through the church, but also inside of the church. What you're doing through individuals, but what you're doing inside of individuals, making us your disciples. And Lord, as we take these elements, we just do this ancient practice that so many Christians have done before. Would you allow us to connect with you in a new way so that we may actually experience your leadership? Again, I just humbly declare that you are the leader of Thrive Church. You get to decide what we do, where we do it, and who we do it with. We just want to be available and willing to follow you where you lead. So lead on. And I'm going to thank you in advance for all that you're going to do, not just in this moment, but in the coming days, weeks, and months. You're so good to us, Lord. You're so good. And you are worthy to follow. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.